Welcome to Game Together. I am Lois, as always, always happy and always will be, and you are?
And I am your very good friend and also father, James.
Yes.
Hello, welcome, thanks again for joining us. And today we've got an episode to talk all about old school games. We're going to be talking about some...
Not old games in school.
Oh, not old school games.
Old.
We're not talking about like the hoop and stick or playing with marbles or jacks. We're talking about old school video games. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Because just this week we went to the Centre for Computing History in Cambridge.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool day out. We had a really good fun time. We saw all sorts of interesting things. And we're going to talk all about it. That's what we thought would be something interesting to do today. So first up, I said to you, we were on holiday. We've had a lovely holiday for a week. Yeah. And I said, today we're going to go to a museum. That's your reaction.
Yeah.
Not particularly positive.
No.
Why not?
Because museums sometimes get a little bit boring, only because you can get smothered in facts and that's all you can think about for the next 5 days.
Smothered in facts.
Or if there's like if you're with a tour guide, sometimes they go on and on and on and on about like history about the flower. That would get very, very, very annoying.
So this is the sort of thing that when we take you on days out, because a lot of people are always looking for things to do with the kids. When you've got kids and you're on holiday, especially, but any time really, you're thinking of interesting things to do with them. It's nice. That's a nice thing to do from a parent's point of view. I think I'm trying to educate you. I want you to learn about interesting things. I think let's go to a museum. That'll be fun. Your reaction is grown, smothered with facts.
Bored to death.
Wow. Okay, so I said, let's go to a museum. And I didn't get a brilliant reaction from that. But then I said, hang on a second. It's a museum of old computers and video games.
Yes, can we go there? I want to go, I want to go. I need to go, I need to go to survive the rest of my life.
Slightly dramatic, but yes, you were then considerably more enthusiastic about the idea, weren't you? Even though, yeah, as has been previously documented on this show, you are not a huge fan
of fuzzy graphics.
Of what you call fuzzy graphics, which is
pixel
art graphics.
Yep.
So along we went to the Centre for Computing History. So it's out on a business park on the outskirts of Cambridge. And
business park, what does that mean?
What's a business park?
Yeah.
Well, a business park is like a place where it's a bit of a weird word phrase, isn't it? Business park. It's like a fun place combined with a very boring thing. A park where you usually have slides. There's no slides at a business park.
No.
There's just you big buildings where
and
people
computers.
Go in and do business and stuff
computers.
Like that. But anyway, in this particular business park, there was actually fun stuff. So, yes, it was a centre for computing history. And you went in. What did we see straight away?
So you see a very small little gift shop.
Yes, there was a little shop.
A counter.
Yep.
And then huge screen to play a washing game, virtual handed.
So the first
computers, arcade, and two doors to other rooms.
Yeah. So the first thing there was a few cases of really old computers, weren't there?
Yeah.
A massive supercomputer on the wall.
Yeah, really big.
Huge, but which is, you know, a real old computer.
About the size of an average size big television, not like massive.
Yeah, but it was. But the actual computer of it was filled the whole wall, didn't it? It was huge.
Yeah.
And then there was also some real old. There was a couple of old Macs, really yeah. old looking ones, and there was a PlayStation 2i toy, I think it was called, which is the one where you could do the washing, where you could stand in front of the screen and do the washing game.
I really like that.
So that was like a sort of before there was a Kinect, before there was virtual reality, we had this PlayStation Eye, which was really, it was a really cool thing. I had one of those. Got one in the loft still, I'm pretty sure.
Christian, what was your first ever game console that
my
you had?
My first ever game console? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll put a little pin in that question if that's all right, and we'll come on to that in a minute when we get into the
I think mine was either the D. I think I played the DS first, and then I did a bit of the game, and then I went and did a little tiny bit of the Game Boy, and then moved on to Switch, mainly the Switch now.
Yes, I think that you might be right there. So that was the first room, sort of an introduction and a couple of arcade units where you could play on a few different old school arcade games. Yeah. And then
you could play on four things in that room.
Four different games to play on, yeah. And then after that, we went into the 80s classroom, didn't we?
Yeah, there was a robot in there.
There was. That was amazing, that robot, wasn't it?
It did Tochi.
Tai Chi.
Tai Chi. Tai Chi.
Yeah, the lady demonstrating it could talk to the robot, and it did all sorts of different things. It was very clever.
Yeah, really cool.
The balance of it was the way it was balancing on one leg. We put some footage of it up on our Instagram channel. It's well worth a look because it's a smart looking robot. What else was in there? There was BBC. There was Acorns.
Here's a really funny thing that you did. You tapped in say star, hello Lois. Typed in hello Lois and then it went hello Lois.
What did you think about the way that some of those computers work? You're used to computers being able to have sound that sounds just like a normal human being speaking. Can you imagine a time when the idea of a computer talking was mind-blowing?
Well, for some reason, yeah, I'm really used to it. I'm really used to it for some reason.
It's because you've never known anything different. It's always been able to, you know. I remember the first time I heard, I remember I was at a friend of mine's house and he had an Amiga, and that's a really old game. It was a really console. Old computer. It wasn't really a console, it was just an old computer, and he had a game that had speaking in it, and I'd never heard it. You could barely understand what it was saying, but but sound was coming out and it sounded like speech, and I was just blown away.
What was
that.
It saying?
I can't even remember what game it was now, but it was still really, really impressive. And that was the same, we were able to type in some things and do that. You did a little bit of coding. What was the Pac-Man? There was like a Pac-Man maths thing you did as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, I typed up a thing on, what are they called again? Oh, hippogriffs.
Oh, did you?
I typed up something on hippogriffs.
Yeah, I noticed you writing a lot of things about Harry Potter into various computers. But yeah, so this was a classroom, wasn't it? So it had all different types of computers that you would have seen in classrooms over the years from the 80s through to now. There was one, you know, there were PCs in there that you could play Minecraft on, but there was
Minecraft.
I absolutely love Minecraft. You do love Minecraft. But there was all sorts of other things, weren't there, that you could try out, and different bits of coding and stuff you could do. And I was really impressed by all the different things.
Yeah.
And everything's hands-on, isn't it? That's what I loved about this museum, that even though it's, you know, still in the middle of the global pandemic, things are still getting back to normal, but they're still not quite back to normal. But everything was still totally hands-on, lots of sanitizers available, and, you know, everyone could have a go at typing on the keyboard and doing things like that.
Some of the ones with game consoles had cloth over it, so it saved having to wipe the... So someone's standing at everything. So once someone has to go, leaves it, wipe, 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 wipe. And then it forms a huge queue.
Yeah. So I didn't love how playing a game controller with effectively a plastic bag over the top of the controller. That's not a particularly easy way of playing.
Well, I found it really easy.
Oh, did you? Oh, must be nice. But it was still, it was better than having, as you said, better than having to wipe it down after every single person's been in it. But yeah, so that classroom I thought was interesting. What did you think? Do you have computers in your classroom at school?
Not in our classroom, other than the teachers. I don't know about a new classroom, but there is a computing spot where you do a lesson on.
So it's hard to imagine a time when
documentaries or other stuff.
When there was like this one computer. See, when I was at school, I remember when they got, Our teacher got a ZX Spectrum into the classroom. There was one ZX Spectrum, that was probably in the whole school. And I remember staying in like at lunch times to try and do Logo, it was called, which is like a coding language then, trying to make it, you know, typing for hours to make the cursor draw a circle or a square on the screen or something ridiculous like that. But, you know, that was amazing. But for you, you know, this is just normal stuff, wasn't it?
Normal stuff.
Was that interesting, though, to look at the history of those things?
Yeah.
And they also had a really... What I thought was really cool was this...
Lady with the robot talked about Scratch.
Scratch coding, yeah.
And I noticed on the computer with Minecraft on that Scratch was on there.
Okay, because that's a coding language, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. I think you're probably going to do more of that as you get into the next year at school. And there were also on every, and behind every screen, there was a big banner, and it was all about the history of women in computing. And I got this great book actually when we checked out, which I will I'll put some pictures up of as well. Computing Her Story, which is all about
it basically says computing history. The his crosses out, so it says her story.
Exactly.
So like computing her story, like that.
So it's all about all of the various women that have made massive contributions.
List some of them.
I'll list some of them. Yeah, well, we've got, you know, of course, Ada Lovelace.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Mary Coombs, Adele Goldberg. Lots and lots of people in here to have a look through. So we're going to have a read through this and learn a bit more about the history, because I must admit, I don't know a huge amount about the people that have been involved
in
the
history. I've heard about Lovelace.
You have heard about Lovelace, yeah. Good, good. Because, yeah, I mean, a lot's said about all of the various men that exist in this time period, but I'm not so much about women. So I'm excited to read that through with you for sure.
Yeah.
So classroom was great. That was cool. We were pleased to learn about some of the learning stuff, but we were really there for the games, weren't we?
We were there with our friends, and all they said, and one of the friends, the oldest one, said, okay, can we move on to the room? I have a feeling there'll be a lot of games to actually play, so I really want to get into the other room.
We were keen to get to the play, and so we went into the next room. Now, what happens when you walk into the main room?
My mouth was open for most of it.
Like jaw drops.
Yeah, walking. And then your jaw just like drops to the floor, and then you're dragging it along in amazement to look at everything.
How many? What did you see then? Just describe the room for us.
A royal typewriter. There were like loads of games, and there was an 80s office, I think.
It was a 70s office, but there was, what else was there? And what about the games you could play? What was the first thing that you could see?
One of my favourite things that were there is definitely a chess game.
Okay.
Yeah, that though it is quite hard.
Well, playing chess is hard.
No, on a computer you can only move certain pieces.
Well, that's the same in normal chess.
I've never played normal chess. So.
Yeah, well, if you've never played normal chess and you tried to play it on the computer, you would still struggle.
I would, though.
Did you?
Well, five times in a row.
A regular Garry Kasparov.
What?
As a famous chess person.
Oh.
So, what about, I saw you straight away jump onto, they'd hooked up a game of Sonic the Hedgehog attached to a dance mat.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. So there was like, start, select, circle, X, square, and a V, I think. And then arrow, so you would point it in the direction, and the X, if you'd stood there, it made Sonic jump. And that I honestly found that really hard, but it was definitely worth it. It was really fun. I completed most of the levels on it.
I think what it proves to me is that Sonic the Hedgehog is not that complicated. Basically, you press forward on the first couple of levels, you press forward, occasionally jump, and you can get through most levels, can't you?
Yeah.
Which you did pretty successfully using only a dance mat. Then they had a row, and this is a bit I thought was really cool, was a row of computers but with games on them. So this is where
there was Dragon Blasters on there.
Yeah, there was all sorts of really old stuff. So this is really this is sort of before the early games consoles. There were things like the Commodore 64, the ZX Spectrum, the Amiga, all of these old different
video games
consoles. They were really computers, but people that played games on them. So that's where, you know, you asked before what was my first games console. But the first thing I played games on was the ZX Spectrum. And this is where I got my start, because I got into coding at school. My parents thought, coding, this is great. He's going to be a computer scientist. We need to get him a computer because we need to make the most of this. So my parents got me a Spectrum. And this was like my birthday or something like that. I was absolutely over the moon. And then I worked out you could do coding on it, but you could also play games on it. And unfortunately, that was the end of my coding time, because I thought my time was far better spent playing games than trying to make games.
Were they disappointed?
Probably a little bit disappointed.
That they'd bought you that for coding, but all you did was play games on it.
Maybe. We'll have to ask them, but I suspect they might have been. But they inadvertently introduced me to my favourite hobby that I've ever had for the last 40 odd years. So I think it was a pretty good, I think it was a good investment. I hope they do too. So we saw the Spectrum, played a few games in there. I've shown you a few examples of games on the Spectrum. What are your thoughts of the, when you look at the graphics and the music and the controls and things like that?
Controls, okay. Graphics, okay. That, and that's pretty good coming from me. But if you like get hit by something three times, you go back to the start, not okay.
No, but I was looking at some, played some of those games. I was thinking
Dizzy, you were playing Dizzy.
Dizzy, yeah, used to love the Dizzy games. Manic Miner, Jet Set Willy. These are games, they were so hard. The fact that you die, you know, now, most games you can't even die in them. But these games, you would die three times, start the game again. Madness. Absolute madness. And I don't think that's, you know, some people sit back and go, games are too easy these days. Wrong. They're not too easy these days. They were silly, silly difficult back in those days.
Try out Monster Hunter Stories Rise 2.
Imagine playing Monster Hunter Stories Rise 2, where if you lose a battle, you start the whole game again.
Nightmare horror. No way.
Forget it. Now, games weren't, you know, 60, 100 hours long in those days. So it wasn't like starting a game was totally beyond the realm of possibility. Because they used that, the fact that you had to die and start again, to make the game last longer, to make you feel like you got better value from the game. Whereas now games are just massive and they last forever, it seems like. I could do with some shorter games, to be perfectly honest. So there was all of those games. Then what did we see next?
There were two full walls of games, just a ton of computers with one game on every one which you could try out.
Basically, every games console from the history of games consoles.
No Nintendo Switch.
No, not, it was really, it was historical, so it didn't, nothing, no PS5, no PS4, no Xbox 360, I don't think it was any of those for, or, you know, up to now, but it was really the historical thing. So it went all the way back to, what was the first one that we saw?
Atari Pong? Atari Pong.
Pong. So this is where it was one console. If you imagine this, it cost $100 to buy this when it was new. $100, and it had one game, and it was where the one where you turn the dials and move the little white things up and down and bounce a ball back between you.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
That was where it started. That's like the very first game, games console. And that was so, I mean, it was cool to play. You could actually play on a real one of those. That was pretty sweet. And then we worked our way through looking at other ones. The Nintendo Entertainment System was there.
There was Sega Master, Sega Mega Drive, Super Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo 64, Sega Dreamcast, and a Sony PlayStation.
Everything. You name it was there. And there were some ones that I hadn't even heard of some of these things. We were able to check out the 3DO, CD32. I had heard of those, but I'd never played on some of these. And there was some stuff in there that, you know, I think I know quite a bit about video games, but I hadn't seen some of these. The Intellivision was one that I was really interested in, some of the stuff that had come, some of the games that had come out on that. So it was a real, it's an education for both kids and parents. If you're interested in video games at all, I think this was well worth a trip, because there was some really cool stuff. And we played on some, you could play on everything, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could, well, some games you couldn't play on. No, it just, and then for an example, I saw a game that looked really intriguing, but you weren't allowed to play on that one.
I wonder what that was.
I think it was like Hunchball.
Hunchball. Never heard of it. It sounds good though. Sign me up to play Hunchball.
I honestly can't remember.
And they had a table of handhelds as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Loads of different handhelds. Again, like, I know there the Game Boy, I know the Nintendo.
Sega Nomad.
There was all sorts of hand. Let me see some examples. We've got these amazing cards, which show all of them had Atari Lynx. Bandai Wonder Swan. What a name.
Bandai Wonder Swan?
Wonder Swan. What? I mean, that's got this. I'll put a picture again of this up on our social media, the number of buttons this thing's got, they're unbelievable. Pocket Neo Geo, Game Gear, everything, basically everything that you can ever have thought of, and you could play on every single one of them. There were so many cool games that you could try out on there. So, Lois, you started off this whole process thinking, I'm not really into... You've always said you don't like fuzzy graphics. I've tried to show you the original Zelda. I've tried to show you the original Mario. We've got one of these super cool Game & Watches, which I've tried to get you to check out. But you're generally pretty dismissive of the old school style of the graphics.
Now I've realised that I like the graphics. It's just that the type of game, sort of.
Right.
And also... Sonic the Hedgehog, that was part fuzzy graphics, and I really love Sonic, but you recorded a video of me going on it. The screen, it kept like flickering and going odd. I found that quite hard to actually see, so I just kept going forward and pressing my foot and jump just often, so I can just jump over obstacles even if I can't actually see them very well, because the screen like kept flickering.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is that it's all about nostalgia, I think. So do you know what nostalgia is?
N-O spells no.
No, it's also the start of nostalgia. But nostalgia is where you think back fondly on something that you remember. So when you're old, like me, imagine when you're 40 years old, you'll probably look at something like PJ Masks or Jake and the Neverland Pirates and go, oh, I remember when I was interested in that. So for me, it's things like Transformers. Things like...
No, still into Transformers.
I am now, but it's part nostalgia. They just brought back He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And again, that's
She-Ra.
Nostalgia. That's what it's all about. So it's the things you remember when you were young. And, you know, movies and all sorts of things are built on this fact that kids grow old. And then they love the things that they used to love when they were kids. So when I look back at the Spectrum, I think, the Spectrum, that was such an amazing system. So many amazing things. But then when you actually play on them, do they hold up? Are they as good as they are? You know, I'm not so sure. So when you look at stuff and you go, nah, don't get it, that's because you don't have any of that nostalgia for any of them. You're just your expectation is what you're used to, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think you'll feel that way in, imagine in, you know, 20 years' time, 20 years in the future?
I'll be in 29 years old.
What do you think people are going to look, I mean, people are going to think about the Switch today? Are they going to think that looks old-fashioned? Like when you look at the Spectrum now, people are going to look at the Switch and go, oh, fuzzy graphics.
It's not fuzzy graphics.
Well, what do you think it's going to look, what do you think computers are going to look like, games consoles are going to look like in 20 years from now?
Madness. Mad, phenomenally insane.
Yeah. It's hard
insanely
to even,
phenomenal.
It's hard to imagine how much... I mean, I remember looking at games back then and thinking, they can't get any better than this. This is the better... Like, seeing stuff and thinking, this is incredible. When I first got a PC for the first time and I saw some graphics on that, I was like, this is it. This is as good as it could possibly get. And it just got better and better. So we don't know, where's it going to go next?
A game console the size of a house. Yeah, yes.
No, I think you've misunderstood the process of technology. I think everything's getting smaller, not bigger. Although the PS5 suggests that they're getting bigger and bigger, so maybe it will be the size of a house next.
Yes.
Because I'm not. I don't want to live inside one. That would be terrifying.
That would be really cool. And the wires could make up parts. That would be so cool, living inside a game.
Okay. No, maybe I think that might be where we end up, actually living inside a game.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Might be scary.
Yeah, true. For an example, Mario and Bowser's Fury. Terrifying.
Yeah, you're going to walk to the shops every so often, it gets really dark, rain comes down, Bowser appears, starts blowing fire at you. That would be annoying, wouldn't it?
Yes.
In real life. So all in all, I think we had a pretty great day. We were there for a couple of hours. I think I could have easily spent... I could probably spend a whole day there just going, working my way through absolutely everything.
So maybe you could go to the Centre for Computing History, where parents become historians. And you could also, if you wanted, send us, what was the first ever computer or game console you ever played on, and tell us what you like about it.
That's a great idea. Yeah, we'd love to hear that. I mean, love to hear what, you know, I'm always really interested. It's one of the first questions I always ask everyone that comes on here is, what was the first game you played and what was the thing that made you...
Like, what inspired you? Like, for an example, I only... Well, before I hadn't got a Switch, I really wanted to switch. Because all the good things you said about it and all the great games, so... And that, like, inspired me to, like, want it. Like, crazy.
When did you first love video games, though?
When I first got the DS, some of the games were like, meh. But then when I first got given a Pokemon game, Pokemon Moon, I'm like, I officially, absolutely love this thing. And games. My mind is just like a computer now.
Pokemon, that's what's to blame.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pokemon is a great...
What this a great, is all your fault.
What a great place to start. Pokemon is a good, isn't it? Very good indeed. All right, so how would we sum up? Centre of Computing History, if this is our review of our day out, what would you give it? Give us a score for us.
4-star.
4 stars.
Out of 5.
Yeah, not out of 10. Out of 5.
So basically, what is one less than this stuff? And yeah. Because, for an example, the chess game... It would be a lot easier if on the top, above it, it showed instructions on how to play and stuff. Because I honestly didn't know what to do with the chess game. So then I had to set the opponents on easy mode, only because I had no clue what you were meant to actually do.
I completely agree with you, Lois. I think 4 stars is exactly right. I think... Improved.
4 stars, 9 stars, 14 stars, 99 stars.
Depends how many what it's out of, but I think 4 out of 5 is great. A little bit more. There was a couple of things that just weren't working, and that's the nature of the beast, I guess. When you're looking at old systems, old computer games, sometimes
nature of the beast.
Nature of the beast. Yeah, have you never heard that phrase before?
Nature and beast before, but
the nature of the beast means that that's just the way it is. Really, that's just the, you know, when you're dealing with old computers. Some of them are not going to work. That's just the way it goes. But that's just...
Because they're that old.
Because they're old. That's
they're old grandparents.
Yeah. Oh, I'm an old computer. So that's what it's like. But, you know, but so much to see and do there. So much interesting stuff. People were very friendly, weren't they? Really,
really nice.
So, yeah, we're not... Just to be clear.
5 stars for services. 5 stars for services. 5 stars for services. But overall, 4 stars. 4 stars for overall,
yeah. We're not... This is not a pay... We're not being paid by them. It sounds like we are, but we're not. Just to be clear, we went there of our own volition, but we would definitely recommend it. If you're in the area, for sure, they do amazing work, and they really do, you know, with the video game preservation, something they do a lot of as well, and I'm really passionate about that, because I think as we get more and more video games that get put on servers and end up getting shut down, we've got to preserve them, otherwise you won't be able to play them in years from now. Years, I can go upstairs into the loft and I can get all my old cartridges out and we can play old Super Nintendo games and Mega Drive games, but when they turn off Minecraft's server, will you be able to play Minecraft anymore? Yeah, I thought that might get you worried.
No.
Well, it's not happening it's not happening anytime soon, but I'm just saying, I think it's an important thing to think about. So, all in all, let's do that. And yeah, as Lois said before, please do send in your first game you ever played. What was it that made...
And what made you like it and what you like about it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's it for today. So if you like what we do, please do, as always, subscribe to the podcast. We would very much appreciate that. Give us a follow on Instagram.
Follow, like, subscribe.
Instagram is Game Together UK, where you can keep up with all of the other stuff that we've been up to, and also lots of pictures from the museum and all sorts of other shenanigans on there as well. So until next time, as always,
Game Together!